Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I am Chauncey Williams.
And I am Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and plenty for your final success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right. February means Super Bowl.
Groundhog saw it. Did you see a shadow?
Yeah. 6 more weeks.
So that means the Eagles are going to lose because the bird can't catch him. So you're going to be Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, man, yeah. Somebody had said, man, they said to the tower.
Yes, sir.
They said there's a flock of Eagles headed to Phoenix, Arizona, and they look really nasty. I said, okay, we're going to see.
I seen an article the other day that said a lot of bald Eagles are getting lead poison. So,
okay.
It might be a sign for people that's into that sports line betting to go ahead and go along with it. But then I did see another article when the Eagles played the Giants or the Bengals. When they played the
Bengals. Yeah. The last team they played was the Bengals, right?
Yeah, that was it, was it?
No. Kansas City played the Bengals. Yep. The Eagles played Buffalo.
Buffalo, right. So it was whoever the Eagles played the Giants, didn't it?
Yes. Earlier.
When they played the Giants, it was a referee that his family was strongly on the Giants, right? I mean, strongly for the Eagles. And his son betted on the Eagles, and the Eagles won.
I seen that.
Oh, man.
Brother, too.
Brother. So he got paid. His son was the line we need to win by.
Yeah.
Whole family Eagle jerseys on TikTok or Instagram. Or
and see, that's a byproduct of this gambling, man. When if you look at on some of these social media sites like TikTok, they're always talking about the fix, right? Yep. It's because
it's real.
It never really became, I don't want to say evident, but it was never questioned until you start talking about point spreads and the under and the over for the total points, what have you. But now, virtually every day, I can see a scenario on some sports talk show where they say, okay, this is the point spread, total points, yada, yada, yada. This is what happened towards the end. A lot of guys lost money, that kind of thing. So, with the explosion of sports betting, there also comes a lot of scrutiny.
Yes, sir. And then, like you said, as long as they won, like look at LeBron when he got fouled and going overtime, and the referee said it right there. Look, he seen two people hitting that game when they went to overtime against the Celtics. Like, oh yeah, that's a foul. LeBron broke down in tears.
LeBron was tore up, man.
But that's going back. See, that's. We watched basketball in a different era. I watched it in the 80s and the early 90s, where I thought my best team was I like the New York Knicks. I like, we go to the hole, there's no jump shot. Go to the hole, get hit, jump on my back. I don't make the layup steal, right? That's the stuff I'm used to seeing.
Bad boys era, right? Michael Jordan used to get beat up.
I'm looking for you to hit me on the layup.
Yeah.
Especially when the game, I'm like, not me speaking personally, but like, we was told you better go through a dunk if you want to win. If you got to decide the last shot, the referee ain't going to decide it. You going to decide it.
Yep.
I don't care if two people grab you. It got to be obvious.
That has changed the landscape of the NBA, man. Because it used to be, when you went to the hole, man, you might get mugged.
Yep. That's on you. You figure that out. You can't make a layup. That's on you. The referee looked at him like and then Patrick Beverly went and got the camera. Like,
right.
Hey, man.
I got it right here, man. Look at him. Yeah, got teed him up.
And they lost by 4. That was some text. I was like, oh, man. But it was the funniest thing I've probably ever seen in the NBA game.
Yeah. Beverly's a different dude anyway.
Yes,
sir. He different. So, but yeah. We have one more show before the Super Bowl, but the hype is good. I'm enjoying it. Two black quarterbacks. First time in the history. So I really don't have a dog in the fight. I just want to have a good game where, it's not decided at halftime where some team is down by 3 or 4 touchdowns, which I doubt if this is going to happen.
Yeah, but I think that's our mid-win break, the weekend of the 16th, right?
I think so. Yeah, it is.
We're going to be off in like 3 or 4 days. That's good.
Yeah.
Monday off and that Friday is a professional development day, but, we're going to be out of here, so – it's going to be a good thing to have that 3-day weekend.
Okay.
After the Super Bowl, you got a day off, so.
Yeah, because a lot of people call in anyway, so.
National holiday. That's not a holiday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be a good thing. Yep, but
Bron on his way to break Kareem's scoring record.
89 points.
89.
He missed the game against the Nets.
Yeah, he did. No, he played against the Knicks.
The Nets,
right, yeah, the night Jersey before.
Nets. Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets.
I mean. Yeah, he had soreness, was it knee or ankle? Yeah. He had some soreness or whatever, but he said out his load management.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he going to break the record this year, and we know he's going to come back for another year. He's going to pad his numbers, and we in our lifetime, we might never see somebody break LeBron's record because he came straight from high school.
I'm going to say this. 38 years ago, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar broke the record.
Okay.
LeBron is 38. Okay. It took a lifetime. So,
38? Yeah.
And when you talk about 38, it's 2 years for a generation. Your whole generation. I led the NBA in scoring for a whole generation. For 40 years.
Yep. So.
Your whole generation can't beat me. Yeah, Kareem. Right. So LeBron about to be, he born in a generation where he beats one of the all-time leading scorers. It took his whole life to get there.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, 18 years old.
Yeah, and it took him a 20-year career to get half a generation to beat Kareem.
Yeah.
Right? And it lasted for a generation. That's amazing.
It is, man.
And with load management, all the other stuff, nobody can't beat that. And then, but the thing is, well, you can't put a damper on Kareem.
Oh, no.
He made 1 3-pointer.
Okay. 1 3-pointer.
And I'm going to score 39,000 points. 1-3.
Yeah, Brown probably half of his is threes.
Yeah. Yeah. He at least got a third of them, right?
Right.
So you got to think about that and just, I mean, one thing I do want to say about both of them, and we'll move on. Giving credit and kudos to LeBron, he has played in the big man era. He has played in the guard era. He has played in the pack in the paint Shaq era.
Mm-hmm.
He has played in the swing forward era, positionless basketball era that we currently in now, or shoot more threes than twos era, right? No defense era. He's done played in every era, and he has an MVP to probably show that each era I got, what, he's been recognized almost 3 to 4 times for the MVP?
No doubt.
Time MVP?
Four
so
times.
He done seen an MVP in each era. So it's like, oh, he don't got 10 MVPs. No, he got an MVP for each era.
And they showed a clip
every
the other day.
Every 5 years is an MVP almost.
They showed a clip of guys he played with or played against, and now he's playing against their sons.
Man, come on.
And it was like 9 of them guys that he played against.
They come up to him
and now
the
his son's playing against him.
He's like, what's up, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, good against my son. I told my son he couldn't hold you. I told him I couldn't hold you.
Right.
See, he got this special, ain't he? Like,
yeah, that, he's like, special, man.
Man.
Hey, man, I got it. We got to take one more hit before we go to our show. Is that the Pro Bowl, right?
Yes, sir.
We've always seen what the Pro Bowl was, AFC best against NFC best. But after the last few years, you know, when this thing got to be with so much money on the table, for these guys in their careers, they weren't trying to risk that in an exhibition game.
Right.
So now,
time.
So now they're going to do flag football.
So that's going to be this Saturday. This
Sunday.
Weekend. Sunday, yeah, Sunday.
Yes, I think it starts tonight. Yeah. Skills competition, dodgeball, that kind of thing. So the question is.
Flag football, who watching that?
That's my point. It's really time for the NFL with all the resources, the minds that they have in their organization to come up with something better than a flag football game for the football audience between AFC, NFC championship games and the Super Bowl. I don't know if you come up with an all-rookie kind of team from the AFC, the NFC, or whatever, but it's got to be better than flag football.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be.
I mean, I would watch it. The All-Star game was, you know, just something entertaining, but I would watch it.
Yep.
Because of the stars. But, yeah, I think they poo-pooed on this one with the flag football.
Yep. I want to ask you this, like, so we got another interest rate hike, right?
Yes.
How many is that in a year? Like 8?
8. It's been 8.
At least, and all of them at least been a quarter.
Yeah, all of them has been 3 quarters. This is the first quarter we've had.
That's about at least it's been a quarter, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I really was amazed. I had a conversation with a guy this weekend about the interest rate hike, and I would have really bet that it would have been another 0.75%. But they went with the quarter. Only because they're saying some of the numbers indicate that the market, the inflation is starting to wane and cool off a bit. But I beg to differ. I don't see it. You know, when you got the issues with people going to the grocery stores and still paying 11%, 15% more than for goods and services than they did a year ago, and the target point is 2% is what they're looking for, inflation rate. So, you know, there won't be another rate increase now for another 30 days. They'll see what the numbers come in from the jobless report. Some of the Wall Streets, and, you know, I seen an article the other day talked about where the layoffs on Wall Street meet Main Street, which says that, okay, we've seen what's happened on Wall Street in the banking industry with layoffs, the tech industry. How far behind is manufacturing in that scenario? So right now it's still strong. We haven't heard of any major layoffs in the manufacturing sector yet.
I would say this, what's quietly happening is, like, when you say the techies are laying off thousands of people, the IBMs, the Googles, right?
Yeah, Facebook, Meta.
Yeah, but those are jobs, they pay a lot of money.
They're well paid.
You're talking about six-figure jobs that they're laying off.
Yeah.
And people log into their computer and say, your email account don't work no more.
Right.
Your login don't work no more. You're like, oh, I've been laid off. Y'all ain't tell me. Check your computer.
Check your computer. That's because you work from home. You know, a good position, work from home. Yeah. They don't even come into the office. So that's how you get your messages through your computer. Yeah.
So then the next thing is the spiral is home prices.
Yep.
Car repossessions. Credit card usage, right?
Oh, my gosh. We'll hit that later in the show. But, yeah, that is at an all-time high.
Yes, it is.
Right now. Credit card.
All that. And I was telling you, like, New Year's resolution for us was, like, no clothes. Like, for me, I told my wife, I'm like, I'm not buying nothing for the whole 2023. I'm living in my space. I'm making sure I watch every nickel and dime, because it has to get to that point, because if you don't, how you going to be able to have an overflow or anything?
True. I mean, and then when you think about it,
I get it back.
What do you know?
What you trying to get?
When you look in your wardrobe, I do. I look at mine. It's like, you know what? There's things in my wardrobe, man, I haven't worn maybe but once or twice. Right. And you're absolutely right. I definitely can go, because I'm not a trendsetter.
Yeah, me.
Right? It don't really bother me about the latest gear that comes out.
Nope.
But you're absolutely right. A lot of people need to take that advice and really think about, is it time to really buy clothes? Why do you need them for?
Why you need them? What you need them for? What you need the swag gear for? What you need the newest pair of rims? What you need to re-up on your car for? What you need the new furniture for? Who coming over? What you buying something for somebody that don't even like you?
Yeah.
Who you trying to impress?
You going to sit? Ain't nobody going to sit on it.
Yeah, you ain't going to let them sit on it. You going to have plastic on it? Like, this is the living room that nobody sits in.
Right.
You see this white furniture? You better not sit there.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So it's all a waste to me. So just looking at that and thinking in that space, and just with the interest rates, because we at that time where every January 31st has happened, we at that time where everybody done got their tax W-2s
they're starting
back.
They're getting their W-2s, getting ready to file their taxes.
Yeah, but I do want to say this, like, before we go into the article. They say the IRS agents in disparity has check, double check, triple check people of brown and black texture, skin color.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Like, oh, check their taxes again. Check their taxes again. Check their taxes again.
I wouldn't doubt that.
So it's still going on, the racism, when it even comes to, like, the IRS.
The hidden racism, yeah.
Yeah, like, how you going to look at somebody's taxes 4, 5, 6 times? Like, what are you trying to prove? They need the dollars.
Especially if...
Check the people that got the PPP loans for $1 million.
Oh, man, yeah. That's a whole nother conversation, because there should be a division that's been set up by the federal government. That's all they do is scrutinize these PPP loans, because, you know, some of the folks that have got caught, you know, they went out and bought luxury cars, homes, traveled extensively and all this kind of stuff. And it's like nothing really happened to the other thousands of people. That's only one person. So where's the rest of them at? Yeah. So you're absolutely right. And speaking of IRS, you know, this year, the IRS, the Biden administration had planned to hire like 87,000 extra agents, right?
That was in his plan.
Since now that the Senate have gone to the Republican side, the House is the Democrats, that's basically what they're going after. They say that's not going to happen. We're not going to get those additional agents. Part of the problem with the IRS is the staffing shortages. massive backlogs. I heard a story on the NPR the other day. If you call into the IRS, if you're lucky to talk to somebody, you can spend up to 3 to 4 hours on the telephone waiting for somebody to take your call. And that's what, you know, the Biden administration was trying to do, was to reduce that time that people have to wait to talk to somebody at the IRS, because everybody's touched by the IRS. And flags, right, for the common person that does file a return, there are certain things that the IRS do look for. And you don't want to get into an audit for the simple reason that they're going to make you come up with all kind of documents. You got to prove your innocence versus your guilt. And it, like one of the examples was, if you earn $90,000 in earnings and you contributed $60,000 in charitable contributions, that's going to raise a red flag, right? I don't think nobody would actually do that. I hope they don't. But there's other things that they do. They come up with these algorithms as far as if you are a salesperson and you travel and your expenses, they kind of set benchmarks. And anytime you exceed those benchmarks when they're doing your calculation or your taxes, raise a red flag. Now you get audited, and now you got to prove what you said on your tax return is correct. And again, you're looking at a delay, possibly some fines and penalties when it comes to your taxes. And also, you know, we got to remember that people got this extra cash that they had. You still got the income credit, child tax credit, and people that maybe have gotten more than what they deserve when it comes time to do their taxes, that could possibly raise red flags too. So it is very critical that you basically tell the truth and not play the IRS lottery, because some people do. Say, well, I'm gonna
claim these kids. A little bit. I'm gonna claim these kids.
Yeah. Stevie Wonder right, Ray Charles, you're gonna put them on your, and it happens. Yep. It happens, man.
And they come back and backlog you, they audit you, and they audit you the last 3 years, you'd be looking like, oh, 12,000. Oh,
yep.
I've been audited before a couple times, because like I was in that scenario where they said I made a certain amount of money, and then when it came back on my taxes, it looked like $30,000. They were like, hold up, where did that money go? I'm like, well, I'm doing my 10% to my IRA, I'm doing 10% to my charity, I'm doing 10% to my tax deferred money.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, tithe offerings.
I can go to statements. These are real. You can buy investments.
You got to prove it.
LLC, like I'm paying this person. Oh, that's where the money went. Yeah, that's where it went. Oh, give me my nothing back.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, you don't get nothing anyway.
You don't get nothing anyway,
but
man.
You got to figure out how to offset them.
You just went through the physical, mental anguish of trying to prove your innocence, right? It's not like the law. You're not innocent until proven guilty with the IRS.
It seems like they don't want you to figure out that system. It's like, no, we're going to give you a check back, Chauncey. Don't do all that long form stuff.
Right.
Don't have a home-based business. Don't have an LLC. Just go on and go straight W-2. Don't claim nothing.
Yeah.
So we just give you a nice big check back, and we borrow your money, and we give you something back with no interest on it.
You gave us an interest-free loan. We thank you for it. You're right.
Hope you will hurry up and spend that all back with us, what we gave you.
We're going to take it back in penalty and interest.
Yeah. You know how they do? Like,
Oh yeah.
I'm going to go on and buy me a car that's 5-10 years old with 100-something thousand miles on it and pay $30,000 for it.
Unfortunately.
And I'm
going to
give my whole income tax as a down payment. Yep. What?
Yep.
Oh, I got a deal on this, man.
$5,000-$6,000 back. Man. And instead of taking a portion of it, you take it all.
Yeah. Keep that. I don't want that. I don't want the car. I don't want none of that. Mm-mm. I want to make sure my money is growing long term. So
working for me.
Yep.
Instead of me working for my money, I want my money to work for me.
Yep. So then we got the phone scam. Somebody called me this week. I'm telling you, they called me every day. Right?
Okay.
So I be playing around too. I be doing stuff because we in this financial world. I do silly stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm calling about some final insurance. I'm like, what's this? Let me see what this is. So I call. I said, yeah, I need some insurance when I die just to have cover all my expenses. I'm just playing with them. They call me every day for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally just answer the phone. I talk to them every time they call.
Okay.
Yeah. And I finally answer the phone and say, man, I was just trying to see something.
Right.
And I said, you guys are persistent. I said, if I ain't had no knowledge in this, you could have got me.
Mm-hmm.
But you are all a straight up scam on y'all end.
Oh, there's so many.
I mean, call me every day.
There's so many out here, man.
Every day, about 6-7 times, and wasn't even reluctant to stop. I'm not stopping.
No.
I'm on your head. Like, he was right.
That's how they get paid.
And I was like, I knew he was wrong. Like, this is a scam. I knew your scam is wrong.
And, you know, you got the law says do not call, right?
Yep.
You can tell them do not call. And a lot of times when they do that and you call back, they got it set up where that number don't even hardly exist. So it's really kind of hard to track down where the actual call came from. But we'll just run through a few of these examples of what, you know, some of these scammers are doing, you know. And we always hear about them on the news where a lot of times they'll call you up and say, hey, you know, we got this outstanding debt with whoever it might be, and we're calling from the sheriff's department, all right? There's a warrant out for your arrest. If you don't pay this bill, we're going to arrest you, okay? Don't work like that, all right? But so many people are fearful of being arrested. That's what happens to them. There's never a good reason to send cash or pay with a gift card. They get a lot of the older people like this where somebody will call up and tell them about their grandson is being, you know,
quick,
in jail.
Get him in trouble.
He in trouble. In order to get him out of trouble, it's going to cost $3,000. But the only way to pay for it is you got to go to Walmart and get these gift cards and then call me with the numbers and then I can get him out of jail. And unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, are just so
they do
passionate
it.
About their kids, their grandkids, they do it without even stopping to think, right? Government agents, even IRS tell you, you know, the IRS will never call you on the phone. If we're going to contact you,
it's going to be on a letter.
It's going to be in the form of a letter.
Time sensitive, too.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Or a subpoena.
Or a subpoena.
Talk to you.
Or a garnishment or whatever. But it's going to be down those channels of command. But it won't be a phone call.
We need your attention.
Yep, because people will call and say that they're calling from the IRS. And, you know, you got a tax lien. And, you know, in order for us not to arrest you, you should send this money. Debt relief and credit repair scams.
Yeah, they out there. They make it hard for me.
Okay.
I'm doing it the right way. It's somebody out there like, yeah, pay me this, pay me $500, pay me this much right now. I can get everything off your credit report one time.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Yep. I got one in a letter the other day, something about an oil company or whatever. And in order for you to participate, you know, you got to fill out the information and then send us a copy of your identification so we'll know who you are. It's like, come on, dude, are you serious? Yeah. But I imagine there are people that think that this is the goose that laid the golden egg, and this is their opportunity to make some quick money, and you wind up getting burned.
Man, I'm going to tell you this right now. There is no such thing as quick money. I'm going to say it again, audience.
Mm-mm.
There is no such thing as fast money.
Nope.
Even our concept of fast food is not. Fast food is apples and oranges and raw vegetables. Not the Wendy's lady, not the Burger King. Fast foods, we would grab it out of the refrigerator, eat it, and fill you up and nourish you. But like you said, if you believe in fast money, you will get in trouble even faster.
Every time. Especially if a person is somewhat down on their luck, you know, and they got bills, and they become vulnerable.
Yep.
Right? And they take advantage of these people, man. You know, and they got the prize and lottery schemes I've heard about. And a lot of these originate over in Africa where they say, you know, you've won this money, but in order
call
for you.
I did. Yeah. A couple years ago, I called. Dude was calling with the Nigerian voice. Yes. We got you, brother.
Yeah,
you, Wendy, Lottie, were you?
Yeah.
Come and did it. Come on, I gotta go check for your account.
Yeah. But people get caught, man.
I had a relative that did. He got for I think $20,000. They got him a fake check for $20,000. He went to the bank. They called the police. So.
Yeah,
I got a relative that did that. Oh, they got me down. I was like, for what? Somebody sent a check for a dude that sound like he from Africa.
Yep.
Got him, coach. Got him.
That's how they do you, man.
And they say, got him. But he ended up dealing with it, and they found it was a scam, and it wasn't his fault, but I guess he got so excited because it was like, wow, this man really working with me. And then they found the check don't clear at the bank. He ain't working with you. He's trying to see if you're going to send him some money after you then found a bank that'll give you an advance. That's all is it. Because when you cash a check, they give you an advance on what your credit is, right?
Okay.
So it's like, oh, I got this check for $10,000. They're like, oh, he can cash a couple of them. He good. He can cash. we'll give you $5,000 a day and we'll give you $10,000, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now they got the 10 days on checks when they over a certain amount.
They gonna hold them, man.
Back in the day, you could cash a certain amount to a certain limit. Like, we'll give you this much and we hold this check when they clear, we good.
Yeah, they realized how much scamming was going on out there, and they said, no, we're going to pump the brakes on these guys,
yeah,
man.
The person that's trying to give you the money, they say, yeah, we give you $10,000, give us $1,000, and you good. And you're like, oh, I got that $1,000 right now. So you go to the bank, they give you the $5,000. You're like, oh, I got it. Here go $1,000. Then the bank call you, hey, sir, your account is negative $10,000. You're like, why? The check didn't clear.
Yeah.
What about the $1,000 I gave? No, the $1,000 you gave was from your money.
Yes, from your money. Yeah.
Originally. They got you.
They out there, man.
They got you on your reserves. They hit you up. Hit them up.
Another one is pretty prevalent. It's the free trials, right? We see a lot of the free trials, right? Sign up, 30-day free trial, man. Whatever. And a lot of people will do it, and some forget. And then a lot of the companies make it very difficult
to get rid of that subscription.
For you to cancel that subscription. So, you know, it's just buyer beware, man. And I know people that's got cell phones will attest to the number of calls they get on a daily basis of being spam calls. And a lot of times, you know, might be people you hadn't contacted in a while, and they figure they pick up the phone and give you a call, and you see the number, and you say, well, I don't recognize that number. You don't answer it.
Yep.
And you check your voicemail maybe, and they say, oh, man, this is your cousin John down in Dallas, man. I was just checking on you. And it's like, but, you know, we just all become so aware of this bombardment of these scam phone calls that a lot of times we just let legitimate calls go by.
Yep. Speaking of scams, what do you think of the extended car warranty?
You know, that, to me, I've never purchased one, right?
Okay.
I know of people that have, and I get a lot of folks that will call me and ask me, what do I think about it? Especially when you're buying these used cars, right? And a lot of times, that's the way they kind of get you hooked
in. So they
make
their money on the finance.
On the finance of these, yeah, they'll let you finance these extended warranties. But some of the problems with these extended warranties is that waiting period. Right, they don't tell you that on some of them it's like 30 days, 60 days,
3,000 miles,
1,000 miles, 3,000 miles,
12 months, or 1,000 or 12,000 miles.
Right, and they're not cheap, right? They're not cheap. And statistically, it says 55% of the people that purchase it never use it.
Wow,
so that's half.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this. I have purchased the name brand warranty.
Okay.
When I say the GM, Ford, Chrysler, right? I have purchased on brand new vehicle that I know that I was going to keep, right?
Okay.
I've done that, and it has helped me.
You have had a situation where the warranty actually did what it was supposed to do.
Yep. From sunroof to like an airbag or like a rear differential, something like, right? So, but I had a bad experience a long time ago when I bought a used car and I tried to buy aftermarket extended warranty.
Okay.
And I remember I had a Cadillac and I was in Boston and the car broke down, right? Why I drive a Cadillac to Boston anyway. Like, what am I trying to do?
That makes no sense.
Being sweet in Boston, right? I'm in Manapan driving a Cadillac, right? That's, you can tell I was probably 22. I was working on getting my master's or something, right? So I'm driving this Cadillac, Tony, in Boston. Chrome rims and everything. And it, I just got it, right? It's 4-6 months in. And I bought it from one of those. I bought it from Clare, Michigan. I was about a college, by Michigan State. And it, had a warranty on it. And the warranty paid out, but I had to have the money to pay, and then I had to send it in, and then they sent me a check.
Oh, yeah, the reimbursement.
Man.
Extended warranty.
And it didn't cover everything, right?
Okay.
And I remember, and I was like, I can't never do that again. If I do anything, if I buy brand new, if I buy used, I got to get the 150 spec warranty from, because I'm a GM cat anyway. I'm driving GM. That's all I've known. So I'm going to get the GM warranty, aftermarket, not aftermarket, but the extended warranty, whatever.
The GM offers.
Yeah, if it's 2 years, 24,000 miles, I don't drive that many miles. So I'm going to get my miles.
Yeah, because there's limit. It's like 36,000 miles.
Yep.
Or it might be a 3-year bumper to bumper, powertrain might be up to 60 months or 60,000. So, you know, if you really want to buy one, do your due diligence, right?
Yeah. Or if you're doing like you said, Tony ain't never bought one, but Tony don't tell y'all his secret. Tony buy a car, and he in insurance. So he with the collision guy and the motor guy. So then he can sit up and say, hey, man, I'm getting ready to buy this car. With his collision person or motor person, and say, hey, which one should I get? Oh, I know. He can talk to a licensed mechanic and say, I know how to fix all that on there. So he's beating the overhead when it comes to dealing with that. So for you, you might have a mechanic. You might got somebody in your family that's a professional and say, hey, buy this one. I know how to fix everything on that one. And that's how I bought my truck. I took a mechanic with me when I bought it from the dealership. He said, get that. I was like, well, that's a police truck. He said, you're going to be able to find that motor anywhere. This is going to happen to it. I know how to fix all of that. And I was like, what? He said, anybody can fix those things. You can put the car together and piecemeal them. And I was like, okay. And that's when you know the history of something.
Yep.
When you buy a used car and you look up all the things that might malfunction, you're like, that only cost this much. That only cost this much. You'll be back on the road. The highest thing you probably pay for in so many years is this.
Yeah.
And once you get that advice, you don't need a warranty.
I have never, honestly, had an issue with a vehicle that I purchased that a motor went bad or a transmission went bad. I have probably, you know, when I drive a car, I drive it till it dies, right?
Yeah, I know you. I saw the Murano. So, you are inspiration for me to make sure my Tahoe keep on rolling.
When it die, I take the license plate off, I get a ride home, and I keep it moving. I go home, start looking for another vehicle, man.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. I know you are Lamar Chapman's uncle, right?
Okay.
So every time I used to see you in the Murano, I said, that's the ghost of Lamar Chapman, because he had one too. There go the ghost.
That's how we roll, man.
Yeah. He don't live with Skeeter. I'm like, that's Lamar Chapman. That's the Murano.
That's it.
But that was you.
That's we where I roll, man.
Kicking it and hanging out. But that was great.
Any car I ever bought, that's how I deal with it, man.
Yeah, but it keeps, with our last topic for the day, that keeps, when you understand the system of money and the system of, like, I'm not buying vehicles to impress people, and I'm living below my means so I can have what I'm supposed to have, you avoid living paycheck to paycheck. You're like, I ain't finna be paying no car no forever. I don't do that. This money finna pay me back. Once I get done paying this car off, I'm finna bank this money or I'm finna invest it. I'm not going to be paying nobody else.
Can't do it, man.
I be mad thinking about stuff. I be trying to figure out how to make it so I don't pay nobody nothing. I don't know what happened to me. My wife like, you tricked me. You cheat now. I was like, I grew up. And everybody got to grow up. Because that check to check, Tony, that's some stressful mess. You can have all new stuff around you. New stuff on your body, watches, jewelry, going on all these trips and everything, and you get home, you're like, oh, I got all these envelopes in the mailbox. I got to pay all these bills.
64% of U.S. consumers, or 166 million people, are living paycheck to paycheck. And we're talking about people that make $100,000 a year more.
That's stressful, man. That's stressful. I'm telling you, that's some stresses you don't want to have.
And it's 3% higher than it was last year. So, again, with the inflation and everything else, people are not really mindful of how to budget what they earned and adjust their standard of living to that. So this is what you get, and that it's a snowball effect, because we talked about the credit card debt is again, on the rise in this country, because that's the only tool that they have when there's an issue, when you live paycheck to paycheck and there's an emergency situation that comes up, because there is no emergency fund. You can't afford it.
You can't afford it.
So paycheck to paycheck says when there's something that happens, now here comes the credit card, and you're pounding that credit card, and then with the increase in the interest rates, you are just digging yourself a hole that it may take you years to get out of.
Yeah, and I want to say this, to avoid that paycheck to paycheck, that accountability thing is real, right? Especially in your relationship. I'm thinking about my wife. That's her calling me right now. We got to get ready to end.
Okay.
she say, I think we had an emergency a couple months ago. So then I'm supposed to be putting some money back. So she reminded me like, hey, this supposed to be this and this and this, this account. I'm like, it'll be back next week. It better be.
Okay.
Right? I could be like, oh, forget you. I'm the boss.
No, right.
You want an accountability partner that's going to say, hey, the money supposed to be like this on this date. Okay, I got to make it like what it said, because that's our emergency fund.
Yep.
Emergency fund, I'm used to the emergency fund looking like this. I'm like, okay, I get it there.
Yeah.
And we want accountability partners like that.
You got to have them, man.
Yep. Well, that's our show today. But I do want to say this. Today is the show we fall at 3 o'clock on Saturday, right?
Yep.
Sunday, black man, John Covington. He's a real good friend of the radio, has done a lot of work here. His final edit of the film, Black Man, is going to be out with community members, pastors, people that's in his community that's going to share our small town and what's going on with our brothers in our community, the fathers, brothers, cousins, uncles. John Covington is having it at the Front Hall at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Go check it out.
It's free.
It's free. Go show some love. They hanging out afterwards downtown. Just go on and fellowship with your brothers. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.